Wasn't that a treat? Call to worship comes from Psalm 123. I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant.
Welcome. Been a different kind of a 4th of July, hasn't it? Some of you that are visiting from another state, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Well, maybe you do by now. But it's been so different with the flooding and the high water, and some have had water in their basements, some have been keeping an eye on their wall that they've made to keep the water from getting closer to their house. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff. And the poor folks down in Spencer, you know, I can't imagine. I haven't been down there, and I don't want to go down there unless there is some way I can help with what needs to take place down there. But it's going to change that whole town, that whole city, in ways we'd have no idea what that's going to be like. I'd like for us just to pray for those that are dealing with high water. Just also let you know that Becky Rowe's mom died this morning. Aww. Just so that you know that. She's there with her mom, well, where her mom lived. She's there, was there with her when she passed. So that's someone else just to keep in mind in the days ahead as well. Donna Osher is back home. She had surgery in Sioux Falls here last week. So I just want you to know that she's at home. And I would just say, you know, if you want to call or don't bring any food over unless you call first. I think they got quite a bit. Yeah, Karen.
No.
Okay, thanks, Karen. That was a quick answer to prayer there, wasn't it? Yeah. Thanks, Gwen. Thank you very much. Let's just pause for prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we oftentimes find ourselves not really knowing how to pray. This is one of those times. There's a lot of needs, and a lot of people wanting to just say, I just want to go back to what was normal. And that probably will not be another normal in the way that we are used to. But we just pray, Lord, that those that are affected, those that are going through stuff, have been doing this for days. I'm sure they're exhausted. I'm sure they're thought of every way that they can make things better and find out that there is probably nothing to make things better with right now. But help them be patient. This did not take you by surprise, Lord. But you know how we are as human beings. We're not too patient. And we don't like changes. We don't like disasters. We don't like too much water, especially. And so we just pray for our friends and those that we don't know that are not even from this area, maybe over in Rock Valley and Haywarden and what's that place straight to the west? Rapids, I think it is. And Sioux Rapids, you know, there's a lot of places. And there's probably some even in Minnesota and in Nebraska. So Lord, we come to you today with our thoughts, with our prayers, with those who are affected and those that would like to be in their own church that can't be. And people who are struggling, like, where are we going to meet? How are we going to do this? I'm so used to just, normal thing would be to come to your church. Lord, we can do that here. But we pray for those that struggle with water and situations where they can't even worship in their own church building. But Lord, it doesn't mean that the church isn't still there. The church is still the people. May we be reminded that all these things can be replaced, but people's lives cannot. So help us to be thankful even in light of difficult times and difficult days, and forgive us for the things that we probably have said along the way that have not been very good. We like to complain a lot, probably even like to swear a lot. So Lord, forgive us for not being what we know that we can be as we keep our eyes on Jesus and let him to live in our hearts and in our lives. And so I just pray, Lord, too, you especially be with Becky Rowe today as she deals with a difficult time in her life that's a lot different than a flood, but she's probably experiencing a flood of tears and a flood of memories and getting ready for a funeral and how that's all going to go type of a thing. And so we just pray, Lord, that you just give her your grace today. Help her through this. And we are grateful that we can have everyone that is here today who is here, either by Zoom or here in their presence. We just ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you noticed the bouquets up on the very top up there on the stands. I just want you to know that we had a baptism here yesterday. It would be the great granddaughter of Steve and Anna Moore. There's granddaughter. What did I say? Grandson?
You said great. Just granddaughter.
There I go again.
Still great, but
their great-granddaughter.
Granddaughter.
Not great. Oh, it's just a granddaughter.
That's okay. Great, but just a granddaughter.
Okay. And her name is great, I mean, it's not great. I mean, her name is Aspen Sky is the middle name. Last is more. So she's got a name of Colorado because they live in Colorado, around Denver. And they're the ones that kind of left these flowers here for us to enjoy here today. So I just want to congratulate who? What's her name? Aspen. And the parents as well as the grandparents. Not the great-grandparents, just the grandparents. And they're probably not even here today because they got company. You have a bulletin as you came in today. Just want to remind you of some things that are taking place this week. There is a women's Bible study that is just started, and it's called Golden Fruit. And that's at 9:30 on Tuesday, followed by prayer partners in the library. And then on Tuesday from 1 to 4, painting class. If you're interested in painting, Avis Davis is here, I think. All right. Yes, there she is. Okay. Good to have you here, Avis. And if you've got any questions about that, you can see Avis. And she's not one that is going to be coming after you. You need to go to her and ask questions if you have any. But that's this Tuesday from 1 to 4. I'm planning on being in the class, Avis. So I'll probably be talking to you afterwards. And also, Tuesday night is our monthly church council meeting at 7 o'clock here at the church. Thursday, we start a new Bible study. It's called Heaven. And you will not believe how much there is to that. And maybe you have some misconceptions about heaven that you need to be straightened out on. You know, one of those are, you know, heaven is a place where you strum a harp and sit on a cloud for all eternity. Uh-uh, it's not that way at all. If you're thinking that's what heaven is like, you're wrong. Come and find out more about heaven. It'll be, I've learned a lot of things myself about this whole topic. So we'll be meeting from noon until 1 o'clock this coming Thursday. And you also see a fundraiser that is taking place later on that evening by Atlas, our local Atlas that is here at Arnold's Park in this area. Atlas deals with people who are in need in our communities that we don't know who they are. And they don't want anyone to know who they are. But they do not want to take help. They don't even want help. But they are in contact with Atlas because the people who work for Atlas, they know how to deal with people who are in this kind of a need in their lives. And they do their best in doing that. So that is something new that's just kind of taken place. David Butterworth was the one who started this. He now has retired and is not doing it anymore. He's turned it over to another person, and you can find out who she is on the this coming Thursday from 4 till 6 at the Well, which is a coffee house here in Spirit Lake. We do have something coming up this month. It's called VBS, once known as Vacation Bible School. Still is known as Vacation Bible School. Amy, anything you want to say about it?
Just that if you want to volunteer, there's a sign-up sheet outside my office. Also, a sign-up sheet if you want to provide any products, food items, or supplies for crafts and stuff. Other than that, Mary Ann will be decorating, so she'll probably be putting out a word asking people to volunteer to help decorate also. I think that's it.
Okay, thanks, Amy. See Amy if you have any questions or you want to volunteer, anything like that. She's here, which we're grateful for that. That's all the announcements I'm going to make. I just want to pray again before I turn it back over to the praise band here this morning. Heavenly Father, we come here today because of Jesus Christ. And we know that there's a lot of needs in this world, a lot of different kinds, even different countries around this world who need you. We're thankful for those, Lord, that see this, that have been called by you, that hear that call, that go to these places. And we have missionaries all over this world that are dealing with people who've never heard about Jesus Christ. some who have but haven't heard things correctly. So we just prayed for them, the Lord, the ones that are especially dealing in places of darkness. There's darkness even here in Milford, Iowa, spiritually speaking. And we know that this is a case around the world. We know that you're coming soon, and you will set everything right as you promised you would do. And so we look to you for your help and your grace this day and every day as we live our lives for you. Give us that thought of heaven. Help us to be mindful that we can learn a lot about heaven even today. Not just something we think about is going to take place in the future, but it's worthwhile looking at here in the present each day as well. Thank you for everyone that's come today, and may you bless our time together as we come to your table and as we come and just hear your word, and we worship you through song and through music. In your name we pray. Amen.
Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, renew me, you see right through me, sins depart.
Is our first Sunday of July, first Sunday of the month. We do have communion, and what we do now is just a brief order of confession and forgiveness. Give us time to talk to the Lord, asking him to forgive us of our sins that he brings to our mind here this morning. So I begin by saying, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're just going to spend some time in silence as you talk to the Lord and ask his Holy Spirit to examine what's been going on in your life or where things are at between you and him today as we spend this time in silence and speak to him. Most merciful God, We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not heard you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen.
Why don't you stand while we sing Blessed Redeemer?
Thank you, praise band, praise team. As everyone is being seated, I just want you to know that the message today has been marinated for over 2 weeks. We canceled church because we got the big dump of rain that one Sunday, and hopefully we made it plain and clear that if you ever doubted if we're going to have church or not, you can just call me or call our secretary, Amy Johnson, so you don't have to make the run to the church to find out that the doors are locked or closed. It's on the radio as well, so just so you kind of know that if it happens in the future, because it more likely it will, probably because of a blizzard or something, but I shouldn't say that. Blizzard. Snow is coming our way one of these days. And then we had the family, the Stones Cry was here last Sunday, that gave a concert and led us in worship as well. So didn't have to preach then either, but today's the day. And some of you might say, I think you marinated it too long. We'll see. But I do invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. It comes to us from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 26. I kind of just cut it off a little short there because I just like bite-size kind of texts. It says this, "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, 'He is out of his mind.' And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, 'He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons.' So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. 'How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come.'" That's where we stop. Lord, use these words of yours in a way that brings conviction and thoughts about how important Jesus Christ is to us. It's not just going to church, but it's following him and living for him each and every day. And so I pray that you would bring your Holy Spirit to speak to every heart that is here today, as well as every heart that listens to our worship service on Zoom as well. Whoever he or she may be. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The very first thing I'd like to say here this morning is that the title is called Divisions and Accusations. Whenever there are those kinds of things that happen, you know, it's not from God who does that. God's not that kind of a person. Not that kind of a God. God is a God that will bring conviction. Conviction based on God's word. Because God's word is true. And that is really the pointedness of his word all the time. We're hearing the true word of God. And so let that truth speak to our hearts here today as well. When it comes to divisions and accusations, a lot of times those are tools of the devil, tools of Satan. And in Mark chapter 3, which we are in, I just want to go previous to our text here today for just a little bit. We find the names of the 12 disciples. Jesus called these 12 guys to be his disciples, and you notice at the very end of the list, who do you find? Judas Iscariot. He will always be at the end of the list of the disciples because he is the one who betrayed Jesus. Did Satan have something to do with that? And we'd have to say, yeah, he did. If we go before this list of the 12 disciples, we see Jesus where he's dealing from people that are coming from near and far to him with people who have needs of different kinds, diseases as well as demon possession. And it is Jesus who heals them. It is Jesus who delivers those who are demon possessed. And it says that the evil spirits that came out of them, they cried out. And they said this, "You are the Son of God." It was Jesus who told them, "Don't say anything. Don't say that anymore. Keep that quiet." But even the demons know who he is. But not the people that he came to die for. They have no idea who he is. They have to come to that whole recollection or that conviction in their own lives that he is the Son of God. So that is in reference to Jesus Christ. But I want us to go to the very first two verses of the chapter. And I want to ask you, where is Jesus in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3? Where's he at? He's in the synagogue. Good. We find him in the synagogue. That's where Jews would go to worship God. They'd get together in the synagogue. We don't go to a synagogue because we're not Jews. We come to a church. What kind of people do you find in this place? In the synagogue? What kind of people do you find in a church? That's right. You're thinking it, you just don't want to say it. You know, we probably just say, you know, maybe religious people. People who want to grow in their faith, people who have a faith, people who want to hear what is going to be preached, going to be read that day, songs to be sung. What are the words to the songs? But there's a man in the synagogue on this particular day that has a withered hand. He has a need. He can use one hand, one arm quite naturally, but the other hand, the other arm that he has, it's withered. There are some visitors that came that day, would be probably on a Saturday in the synagogue. There were some visitors that came from Jerusalem. Who were they? They're Pharisees, teachers of the law from Jerusalem. They came to this synagogue where Jesus, his disciples are at. The man with the withered hand is there. And these visitors who came, did they come wanting to worship their God that Sunday? They go like, oh great, we come to worship the Lord. That's all that matters to us. We find in our text that they came with other intentions, other motivations. They wanted to see if Jesus was going to heal this guy with the withered hand, do some kind of a miracle on what day? The Sabbath. That's all they're really concerned about. Is he going to do a miracle on a Sabbath? And we talked about this a few weeks ago. God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. We go into the Gospel of John. Did you know that John, as he writes the book of John, he's got seven miracles, seven healings that were to be used where people come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They come to believe in him. He also gives the seven I ams in John of who Jesus is. He makes claims about himself. I am the bread of life. No one will hunger or be thirsty if they come to me. It's one of the claims he made. No one makes claims like that unless you can really follow through with those words. So what we find here, as we look at our text now, it's like, where is Jesus in our text? Where's he at? He's not in the synagogue. Where is he? He's in a house. And there's something about this house that who's with him? Who's with him in this house? There's a bunch of people in this house. There's so many people in this house that you can't move. Because it says here that the disciples can't even, and Jesus can't even eat because there's so many people in this house. It's very crowded. But the ones who are there, they want to be there with Jesus, regardless if it's crowded or not. During the 4th of July, you have to really want to go down to the Arnold's Park area in order to go there. I stay away from there. Too many cars, too many vehicles, too many people. But here we find Jesus in a house full of people. So many that they cannot even move or even get fed. They can't even say, pass the hot dish. Oh, here it's called the, what do you call it here? Casserole, yeah. The casserole. And who comes with some divisions and some accusations? Very interesting here. The first one that we see is his own family. His family have heard what he is doing or what he's teaching in this house full of people. They can't even get into this house, but they try to send someone else to get Jesus' attention, to come on out to meet with them and talk to them. But his own family are saying, he's out of his mind. He's crazy. What's gotten into our son or our brother? Who does he think he is? What kind of a cult is he starting now that people are following him? There's also the religious teachers of the law who came from Jerusalem. They come out and they say that he is possessed by Beelzebub. Have you heard of that name before? Beelzebub? Who in the world is Beelzebub? It's another name that we find in the New Testament. The name is a name of Satan, a name for the devil, Beelzebub. You go back into the Old Testament to 2 Kings chapter 1, you'll find that the false god of Ekron is called Beelzebub. It is the king at the time in 2 Kings who tells some of his messengers to go and inquire to the god of Ekron if he is going to get better or not, because he fell down, he's in bed, and he wants to know if he's going to get better and that if he will live. And God sends his messengers, his angels, or an angel to Elijah, one of the prophets, to intercept these messengers from King Ahaziah, who is the king of Samaria, the northern kingdom of Israel. And what he tells Elijah is to meet those messengers from the king and to give them this message. It's a different message than what the king gave to these guys. Elijah says, here's the message that he got from God. Tell the king that you will not leave the bed you are lying in. You will certainly die. Not good news. And that's what happened. The king died. You can read that in the first chapter of 2 Kings, chapter 1. After the king dies, the king did not have a son that would follow him to be the next king. So he finds another son who becomes the next king, and his name is Joram. He's the one who succeeds Ahaziah from the northern kingdom. The son of Jehoshaphat, who was a good king, he's the king of Judah, which is the southern part of the kingdom of Israel. His son's name is Jehoram. Jehoram. Remember the one who replaced the dead king? His name is Joram. And here we have Jehoshaphat's son, whose name is Jehoram. See how similar they are? It goes to show, because of how close their names are, that Satan is a master counterfeiter. He likes to duplicate things or make things very close to the real thing, but they're fake. And here you have it even in these names of future kings that took place way, way back. I believe that people are taught in, you know, remember when you used to be able to buy things with cash, that the tellers, that the people would be trained to be able to tell the difference between what is real money and what is fake money, what is counterfeit. And I don't know how they did that, but they could be able to tell. Sometimes you may see them sometimes look up in a, you know, hold up a dollar, a bill or some bill of some sort, and they'll put up to the light to see if they can see something in there, or they use a little magic marker that they'll put on your bill, and it's got to turn a certain color. If it's real, it'll turn this color. If it's fake, it'll turn a different color. But they're trained in this. People who handle money, they can tell the difference if it's real money or if it's counterfeit. Of course, nowadays they make things really good. But Satan is a counterfeiter. And we'll get into that more next Sunday. And I think you'll find that very, very interesting. So I just want to conclude by saying that you would never expect Jesus to be accused by his own family for being crazy. You would never expect that, but he was here. Nor would you expect religious people to cause division in the church, which happens. One of the things I've been told many years ago by a pastor that I worked under, he said, be careful of those who you meet when you get to your first church. The ones who come to you and say a lot of good things about you, that like being with you and smile, watch out for those people. They're the ones who will turn on you. And there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that. Now remember, I'm thinking division is whenever we get away from God's word, because God's word is always true. There are times where you have to, nowadays it seems like you have to leave a church, because the church has left you. It has made sin no more sin, now it becomes acceptable. You never change God's word. It is what it is. You don't make it to fit your life or your lifestyle. You let God's word change you. Wherever Paul went in sharing the gospel, he went to a lot of different cultures, a lot of different places. People who were worshiping idols of all different kinds. But he never, ever gave up of telling people about the one true living God, who sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, for the sins of the world. No other God that people were worshiping had a God like that. And so Paul was looked upon as being a crazy guy, a holy roller. Who knows what he was called? He stuck to the truth of the gospel. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit is always good. And that's what you always look for in every church. Is the fruit of the Spirit there? There's 9 of them given in Galatians, I believe. That's what you look for. Those are the kind of people that you can build a church on and a church with. You can't build it on people who cause division, who accuse others of different things. You can't build a church. You can't grow a church with that. It's the wrong kind of foundation. It's the devil's foundation if you think you can. God's foundation is much sturdier. And it's always good. Satan loves to divide and accuse people, especially God's people, when they stand on God's truth. Satan loves to accuse. And we'll get into that more next Sunday. Satan loves to have God's people be quiet and to make them fall in line with something that's not talked about in the scriptures, or he'll twist it. I call it the frog in the kettle. Many years ago, I read the story that if you just slowly turn up the heat if a frog is in a kettle, the frog will not even know it's being cooked. It's a very slow process. But if the kettle is boiling and you throw the frog in there, the frog's going to jump out right away. Divisions and accusations are hurtful. And God's way is always one of unity with lots of love. A love that we have a hard time grasping and understanding. His grace. We are told in the New Testament that love covers a multitude of sin. It's very true. I wasn't always a loving person. Could be quite harsh. But over the years, you call it mellowing out, aging out. Begin to see people in a different light because you see people through the eyes of Jesus versus your own eyes. And that's a good thing. God's way is always healthy, and it brings people together that produce oneness and peace. He gives hope when people can't see hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we see in the text here today. People can be very unhealthy spiritually. Lord, help us to be people who know what health is, what is healthy, as we look at the fruits of the Spirit. That's what you want to do in each and every person who follows you, is to have your Holy Spirit produce these fruits because we cannot do it in our own strength. It has to come from you. So teach us and to help us to live for you, because with you we have everything we need. Without you, we have no hope. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. we're going to head in the direction of communion. Those of you that have been here before, you kind of know what we do. Just want you to know, if you're new here, that it has nothing to do about membership. If you're not a member of Harbor of Joy, you still can take communion. So if the Lord is wanting you to have communion, he invites you to come to his table. We do it two ways. We have a lower place down here. You come, ushers will dismiss you. You come down here, receive the elements. If you want to go up front, you'll be served up there. If you can't kneel, you can still stand there. If you want to kneel, you can kneel. You can stay there as long as you want and pray. Pray to the Lord. And when you're done, you just come back down and sit where you're sitting. So there is gluten-free wafers. They're in a plastic. They're wrapped in plastic. So if you have one of those kinds of allergies, we just want you to know that we have gluten-free wafers. There is, if you want grape juice instead of wine, you just hold your hand like this. That means you want grape juice. You don't want something that's got alcohol in it. Others, wine. And so those that are serving will see this. They'll know what to do with that. If you're kids, you know, the Lutheran tradition that we have is that you need to go through confirmation first so you understand what goes on with communion. And so we'll pray for you when you come on up, but don't expect us to be able to present you with the elements, just so you kind of know that, okay? Other than that, let us stand as we recite the Nicene Creed. Because you don't know the Nicene Creed as well as the Apostles' Creed, let's say it together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He came incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of the sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And he said to his disciples, take this bread as it was broken for them. For this is his body. He said, this is my body. Eat all of it in remembrance of me. He then also took the cup. And he said to his disciples, this is my blood, given for you. Drink all of it in remembrance of me. And so we are to do this until he comes again. That's why it's a special time. There's nothing wrong with introspection. I'm just saying, Lord, show me where I failed. Show me where I have sinned. I need you today. I need you every day. And he invites all of us come to his table. So with that, I'll call the servers to come. Ask the servers to come up front. If you want to help with baskets, you can come up front this time. Help up there, okay? And then you can hold a basket down here, Carter. Okay. Tastes like Amy. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
As long as we're going to start studying about heaven on Thursday, I always love this song. It's a real, real old song, but it talks about when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I think you're going to have to stand to sing this one.
Streets of gold.
we'll sing and shout, shout the victory.